I'm not surprised. I think we've been starting to hear some of this information. I think what's really complex when we're looking at some of the information they're bringing, and there are sort of three key areas. One is that there has been an increase in prevention and treatment services with some measurable results, but clearly it's not going to be even close to sufficient to meet universal access targets that were set by the G8 and other governments, you know, for 2010. The second key is that the number of people living with HIV and AIDS is stable and or falling in some countries. But I think this is the false information or the false interpretation of that information. People might be lulled to thinking that somehow the epidemic's gone away. But it is not. In fact, you know, within certain populations it's growing, but aggregate totals in some countries are not growing. And so that's somewhat good news, but the stability of all of this, I think, has to be examined really, really carefully and closely. And I think what this is also telling us is the third key point is that even if we're starting to see stability in the numbers, we've still got to look at long-term responses that are grounded in evidence and human rights, with strong leadership from countries to ensure that financing takes place. Because if we get lulled into some kind of false security that AIDS is leaving, AIDS is no longer the issue, we will see spikes, we will see communities remaining without access, and we'll see government promises be pushed to the wayside. And this is something that all advocates and activists around the world need to be very cognizant about. But it's far from over. And in fact, I think we have to look at some of the other issues regarding how concentrated epidemics. We don't have information about them.
So what exactly are concentrated epidemics?
We know in some places that concentrated epidemics really is the problem in many countries. HIV rates, for instance, among men who have sex with men are 4 to 5 times higher than the general population. So when you receive a figure saying, you know, the decline is here in this population, in this country, these general figures do not necessarily illustrate or point to the picture of how the epidemic is evolving inside of a country or inside of a city within particular populations. And this is really troublesome. The second really troublesome piece around these figures is that we're seeing many governments around the world, and particularly in Africa, but not only, making fairly large claims about the MSM population, about prostitutes in Asia. We've seen in Cambodia how they started to arrest them. So we're seeing, you know, those people most affected by the epidemic, harassed, still missing services, far fewer services within these communities than you find in the general population. So once you start peeling away at the layers of the onion, you start to recognize that, in fact, the epidemic or the pandemic is raging within specific and particular communities, unabated and without the kind of effort required to make sure that these populations receive services, be they prevention, be they treatment, and that criminalization does not work.
It sounds like, from what you're saying, that the biggest danger you see in the coming years is complacency.
Well, we're starting to see it already. We're seeing some governments around the world declining the amount of resources going toward HIV and AIDS. And just when we're at this, you know, a stage in our development of how we look at HIV, where we're saying, let's get long-term development. Let's deal with these long-term issues of healthcare workers, insufficient healthcare workers in most countries, policies, and so on and so forth, that these take time and they need to be properly resourced and they need to have high-level leadership. And once leadership, and we're finding this around the world, once leadership declines or once a government decides to shift away from HIV as a major focus, we see horrible events starting to unfold, such as health budgets not moving toward HIV and AIDS anymore, donors saying, well, maybe it's not the problem we thought it was. We see people on certain fringes of society saying that AIDS has not been the problem, this has all been a scare, and we don't have to worry about this. So, you know, it really has become, as we all know, a very complex epidemic that you can't take one piece and say somehow this is, you know, providing an entire picture. You have to look at all the subsects of issues surrounding some of these figures, surrounding what we're hearing, and you have to make sense of them because they can't put you in a place which will perhaps put in jeopardy the program that it took 10 years to build in your country. And this is something we have to really fight against.
In the early days of the epidemic, as you know, there was a great deal of fear and mystery surrounding HIV/AIDS. Do you still see that fear?
Well, certainly amongst many people living with HIV in certain communities, there is a fear. I think when you've seen some examples of Uganda, Senegal, places where certain populations have been arrested, Cambodia, Russia, when you see these populations arrested and people from particular high risk or key populations who are affected by the pandemic, I think we really are worried. that this is, you know, this is the backlash that's happening in some countries. People are tired of having to work on HIV. There's a fatigue around the world around prevention messaging, and you're seeing a resurgence within certain communities of, you know, non-protected sex because people are really tired. And I think it also demonstrates for all of us, you know, the need to repackage this information on a constant and evolving basis to make sure that we will have a generation which will remain free of HIV, because this is the only way to do it right now.